Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, often reminded us that God's Word brings truth, hope, and light into our lives. Before we turn to today's sermon, I'd like to share a few notes we've received from viewers that have been encouraged through this ministry. From Missouri, we heard, "I love listening to your program and feel so refreshed after I hear the scriptures and Pastor Salem's preaching. I am so glad you have kept his ministry going and that his messages reach around the world." And from a viewer in Arizona, "I came across CWH while flipping through channels. I realized what an enriching service about Jesus I have been missing. God put it on my heart to give my tithe to your program to reach others." As we continue our series on the great I Am statements of Jesus Christ, we turn to his powerful words, "I am the light of the world." May the Lord bless you as you listen, and we hope you'll join us again next week as we continue in this series.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the weekends come, because that's when we all get together all around the world and we worship our wonderful Lord, and we invite all of those who don't know Jesus to come to meet him personally and dwell with him forever. We're looking at Psalm 91 today as our opening scripture. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." And oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the dear Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Heavenly Father who watches over us just in a protective way to keep us all the days of our life. And when we put our faith in you, dear Lord, you never leave us or forsake us, and you help us all the way until we get to the great city of God where we will abide forever and ever. Pray in this service today, Lord, you'll bring many to yourself, and that you'll bless your people and encourage your people, and your name will be glorified. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing for us to start us out today, "Sweet Beulah Land." And God bless you, Barb.
Someday, oh,
Thank you, Barb. And I like that song because it's a song about heaven and because my wife's name was Beulah. And she's in heaven. She's been there since 2005. So I'm anxious to see her again, anxious to see heaven. And I guess everybody's happy to think when they think about heaven and about everybody knows somebody that's there and waiting for you. And so we got to get our work done. And then we'll go to heaven. See our loved ones, see our Savior. All of it is going to be great. Well, we get our letters, our wonderful letters, and we want to share some of them today. And the first one is from South Dakota, good old South Dakota, Huron, our friends at Huron. And they write, "Dear Christian Worship Hour, I'm a shut-in. I can't get out to my church, so the Christian Worship Hour is my church. I'm praying for you and your program. Enclosed is a check to help carry on the program." Well, we're always happy to have our friends listen to us, and we have any number of people. I don't know how many letters we get for people that just can't get out. And so we're going to be their church. We'll be their church, and we're honored to do that. And that simply means that we just gather together and preach the Bible, the wonderful Word of God. And that draws us together, and we're one family in Christ. And we just welcome you to join us as we worship. And be sure you put your faith in Jesus. That's the only way to live, the only way to travel, and definitely the only way to die is to have Jesus. Now, here's a letter, and I know I'm going to mispronounce this. Woblo, Missouri. But it's a good letter. I just had to read it. And this is one of the men. "I listen to you early every Sunday morning. Then I walk to a Baptist church less than a block from where I live. Today is Mother's Day. I am a male. I felt tired and said there was no way I was going to go to church today. Listening to your prayers and telecast, after your program was over, I got right out of bed like you healed me. Dressed myself and went to church. I'm 74 years old." So God bless him. He was listening. You know, when they're laying in bed, I don't know how much they're hearing. When they're sitting in these soft chairs too, I wonder how many are listening to me. But here he got the message, and he did it just right. He listened to the service, but he went to church. Go to church if you can go to church. Remember, the church is an institution of God. God instituted the government, he instituted the home, he instituted the church. And you need to be in church. If you possibly can get there, go to church. And go to a church where they preach the Bible. They don't all preach the Bible. They get off on a dozen other things. Get one where they're talking about the Jesus, the Holy Word of God. Here's Sibley, Iowa. "Thank you for your spiritual insight. And growth you bring me into our home. And so, yes, we bring inspiration into your home because we preach the Bible. It isn't anything I've worked up or thought up. It's the Bible. And you know what we're told in 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And so when we preach that Bible, two things happen. I'll tell the young pastors this. When you preach the Bible, the first thing you do, you preach with authority. You don't get up and say, it could be, it might be, I hope so, what if? But you can say, thus saith the Lord, period. And that settles it. And the second thing, when you preach that Bible, you're going to grow spiritually. That's why you ought to read your Bible. Read it every day. Go to a church where they preach the Bible and you grow in the Lord. Here's St. Petersburg, Florida. And this person writes, I make it a point of watching your TV program every Saturday here. It's wonderful. I greatly appreciate it. I'm 82 years old and living on assisted living facility. It takes all of my Social Security money each month to stay here, so I have no money to send to you, and I'm sorry. But if you don't have any money, you can pray. And that's more important than money, the prayers. Give the prayers. But then she goes on. But I can send you this note and tell you that I so appreciate hearing music that mentions Jesus shed blood on the cross. It was the crimson stain. Rarely do you hear any more songs that mentions Jesus shed blood on the cross. And I wonder if Satan is jumping with joy over that. I pray to hear more persons singing about Jesus shed blood. You bet he is. I'm telling you, there's more and less used so many times, so seldom anymore. A lot of the hymn books don't have the Jesus blood in it, or else they're singing choruses. I don't hear a lot of blood in the choruses. But let me tell you a little secret. When you get to heaven, we're going to sing. And what are we going to sing? Oh, we're going to sing about the lollipops or the flowers or the butterflies or something like that. We know what we're going to sing. The Bible tells us, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Here it is. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So if you don't want to sing about the blood now, I don't know if you'd be very happy in heaven, because they're going to be singing about it there. You better get on the board, right now and thank God for the precious blood that washes away the sins of the world. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That's the only way to get rid of sins, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Here's Wichita, Kansas. I appreciate your ministry and a clear way of presenting the gospel in every message each week. I try to put your message on my computer to listen that way. I pray for you and the Christian Worship Hour. Thanks again for the biblical encouragement. And the good thing I took out of that letter was this person says that he's praying for us. And I hope all of you will pray for us. And what do you pray? What should I pray? What do you want me to pray? We got three things we'd like you to pray. Pray, first of all, that God will be glorified. Second, pray that people come to Jesus. And third, pray that God will comfort his people and help his people. And not just the old people, the young people have their big problems with so many with the liquor and these advertisements and all of this drugs and stuff. Young people, children have problems. The old school bully. Listen to this. I went to school in the first grade in 1928. You say, is that this century? No, this isn't even this century. It's the last century. 1928, and I was 10 years old, and there was a bully there that got after me all the time. So they've been around for a long time. Devil always has his workers, doesn't he? And so what you do is you just put your faith in Jesus, and you walk with Jesus and rejoice in him, and he'll give you strength and help. Let's hear if we got a little time. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we have to use this one. Casper, Wyoming. I'm 90 years old. I had polio when I was 18 months old, was paralyzed from the waist down. My parents were wonderful Christians who prayed and fasted for my healing. It seemed my dear Lord embraced me as a father would his child and showed me that this was his will for me. I understood and accepted it. It's okay. He promised to be always with me through all my needs. And praise God, he never has failed me. When I was able to stand, I was on crutches, then a walker, then a wheelchair, and now bed rest. God helped me to graduate from high school, get a job, married a Christian man, had a wonderful daughter and son-in-law and three grandchildren. What a great God we have. And I thought, I know all of you thinking this as you read it, have this story. You're thinking of St. Paul. And St. Paul said that he had a thorn in the flesh. And it was given, it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And the reason was to keep him humble. And Paul writes, and he says in, and he writes, and he says in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, that this thorn in the flesh might be taken away." Three times he prayed that. And then Paul said, "And he, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And he's this, and he tells him, "Paul, don't pray for healing anymore. I'm not going to heal you." And so what did Paul do? Let's see, what did he say? "Oh, and I got mad at God. And I said, I preached and all that, and that's what you're doing for me?" No, he didn't write that at all. He wrote and he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And so he's saying, "I'll tell you what I'll do. If he wants me to have these infirmities, if he wants me to have this thorn in the flesh, I'm going to hold it up like a flag. And I'm going to rejoice in him and be glad in him. I know he has a message. He has a reason." And we know the reason with Paul. Paul says, "He gave me this so I wouldn't get proud." God's doing Paul a favor. And so when these troubles and trials come, don't get mad at God. Get all upset like an old wet hen. You probably don't know what that's like. I was on a farm. A wet hen is never very happy. And so you just get all upset. You just say, when you have these troubles and trials come, you say, "Dear Jesus," don't say, "Why did I get them?" You say, "Dear Jesus, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want to show me? Maybe I need humility. Maybe I need to be forgiving. Maybe I need this or that or another other thing. Maybe you're gossip." And then he's going to give you lockjaw for a while, like he did the lions with Daniel in Daniel's lion's den. I don't know, he could lock up the dens of the lions or the mouths of the lions, but I know about some people, they got a pretty long tongue, it's awful slippery, but he got the ways to do it. Point is, just this wonderful Savior. Just say, "Oh God, I want to do your will." And if an infirmity like this woman here, she's bedridden, and her letter goes on, and she said her husband died, and she hasn't been able to get out of bed since. People are too busy. Isn't that something? But she says, I talk to God, and I pray to God, and I say, "It's okay. It's okay." That's the Christian spirit. Well, we'd like to hear your letters, and we appreciate them so much. Now, we pray for these folks, too, and thank God for them. And I know it makes me a better Christian, encourages my faith, and I know it will all around the world. And I think of the persecuted church, look at what they're going through. And they say, "Oh, yes, here's this lady. She can't get out of bed." That's a persecution too. And they're encouraged, and we encourage one another, and we just strengthen one another. Well, if you'd like to write to us, and we hope that you will, write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get a hold of us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can write to us, and we have a couple of offers to make. We'll give you one. We have a little Bible study called it's called The New Song. And we have a different Bible study every month. And this month is The Pastor's Prayer for His People. When I pray for my people, what do I pray? I got a whole list of things here. Wouldn't you like to know what it is? You just write and say, "I'd like to have the new song." You say, "Well, now, how much is it going to cost? What's the subscription price?" Well, it's such a wonderful little study. We should charge for it, really. But we are such nice people, we send it free and postpaid. And we're going to go that till we go broke. But we won't go broke, because that's the next part of my message today. And that is, we have to have your help. And we have to have your financial help. Need your prayers, need your gifts. And I can tell you this, if you send any gift to this organization, to our ministry, we are a part of an organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and it's an international auditing company for Christianity, for Christian churches and Christian works. And they audit our books, and they go through it like with a fine-tooth comb. and we account for every penny we get. And here's something, too, you can do. You can be away, say, just for instance, in Norway. We got a gift from Norway. And how they did it, they just went to the Christian, that went to the Christian Worship Hour, ChristianHour.com, and on there's a place that says donate, and they donate it. They put it in their Norwegian money, and I don't know what you call it, but when we get it in American currency, and we pay our bills. So I need to have you help us on that. And one other thing I want to mention is we have a film, and it's called The Heart of a Shepherd, and it talks about a boy accepted the Lord and how to accept Christ. We'll send that on a free will offering basis. So one more time, especially for our people on shortwave radio, you don't have a screen. So it's Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you pay as the Lord lays it on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're continuing our studies on the great I Ams of Jesus. And today we're going to be looking where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And it all takes place where Jesus is teaching and the Pharisees come and they're trying to trap him. And because he's doing all these miracles and they got to get rid of him because there's too many people following him. And so they've come to trap him. And so in this passage of Scripture, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And I am is the name for God Almighty. And what Jesus is teaching these Pharisees, and they catch on to it, because when he's done telling and explain it to him, there can be no question. But Jesus saying, I'm God. And that to them was blasphemy, and they tried to stone him, but they couldn't do it. See, that's what they do when people can't get something done, they stone you or they'll curse you or something like that. They don't have an argument, so they throw stones or something. That's what they did. But Jesus is teaching here, he is God. He is God. It begins with chapter 8, beginning with the 12th verse. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor know my Father. If ye known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour has not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall not, and I shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said Jesus, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And in our prayer tonight, this morning, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Afghanistan. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this discourse by Jesus, that in no question can be, he can be not, no doubt about it, but Jesus is the second person of the Godhead, and he's telling them that he and God are one, and how they rejected it, Lord, and they rejected to their own destruction. And so just, Lord, as we read this word and study this teaching today, may we see that you are God, and that in you alone we can find salvation. And we can find a lot more than salvation. We can find rest, and we can find strength and guidance. And we have all things. We have all things in Christ. And so we just pray that the people will see all over the world that they need a Savior, and they'll come to Jesus. Jesus, the only way of salvation. And Lord, now today we want to pray for the persecuted church in Afghanistan. And we just think of how some of them have to die, and men lose their homes, and families are separated. And yet they gladly do it because they love you, and they're giving everything they have to you. And Lord, may we take a lesson from these dear brothers and sisters, because they're part of our family, Lord, and help us to be willing to pay that price, any price, to follow you if you call upon us to do it. So now we want to pray, Lord, that in this service today, many will come to know Jesus. Many will see the light, come to the light, and find joy and happiness that's only in Christ. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And before the sermon, Hank's going to sing for a song, When I've Learned Enough. When I've Learned Enough. God bless you, Hank.
I've met the Master down on my knees. I've been tested and tried. I've seen the God of heaven paint the fields and countryside. I've learned to love this life so much that it brings tears to my eyes. But when I've learned enough to really live, I'll be old enough to die. Old enough to die. I've learned that Jesus died for me. Sometimes I wonder why. I've watched the plan of God unfold in the stars up in the night. I've learned to love my precious wife. For my children I've prayed and cried. But when I've learned enough to really live, I'll be old enough to die. Old enough to die. But when I've learned enough to really live, I'll be old enough to die. Old enough to die.
Well, thank you, Hank. He's always there, ready to go to bat, and he'll sing his heart out. That's great. Appreciate Hank. We've been together for over 50 years, and just appreciate him so much. Well, we're going to continue our study now. We just started out there last week, had our first I Am, and we're going to look at the 8 I Ams of Jesus, spend a Sunday on each one. And today we have the light of the world. That's the second I Am that Jesus gives us. It was given at a very special time in the life of Israel. And it took place at the time of what was called the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of the Booths. And this feast commemorated the march of the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness and in the desert and the promised land. And you remember this story. You remember the wilderness journey. The people were fed with manna from heaven for their food supply. For 40 years, their food never failed. The people were given water from the smitten rock, and they were guided constantly by a pillar of cloud that did two things. It gave them shade in the daytime from the scorching sun in the deserts, and it gave them light in the night. They were never in the darkness. They had a power company coming straight out of heaven. The Jewish people knew all about this history. It had been carefully passed down from generation to generation. Not a single fact could be lost in the translations or as they give this story of the Feast of the Tabernacles and this wonderful Jesus and how he taught them and what he taught them. And so at the temple, they had a huge courtyard. And at this temple, they had a candelabra, a huge candelabra at each end. And each had 7 candles, and so 14 candles in all. And each night at the end of the court, one of the candles would be lighted. And so at the end of 7 days, the entire city would be filled with light, blazing light. And the people would be singing and celebrating and rejoicing. There would be dancing and music throughout the entire week of tabernacles. And then they would have a great celebration as they had this wonderful light. And then the week of celebration would end and the lights would be extinguished. And maybe this is when Jesus made this statement, because Jesus said, you can imagine all these lights and now they're put out and now it's in darkness. And Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the Living Bible, it translates this, I am the light of the world. So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness for living. Living light will flood your pathway. Jesus tells the multitudes that he is the light of the world. And so today we're going to look at that glorious statement, I am the light of the world. When Jesus made that statement, we noticed that the Jewish nation would put 2 and 2 together, and they'd do it in a hurry because they could see that billowy cloud that God had sent from heaven and then that light in the wilderness and then in the night. And he could see that there was light, not only to this wonderful light, but it stood for 40 years all throughout that journey. And then as Jesus teaches and as Jesus preaches, he's going to show them and have them to see that there is another light from heaven, and he is that light. I am the light of the world. And that this light is not only for the Jews, but it is for the Gentiles as well. In other words, it is for the whole world. And so we say the light of the world is Jesus. The psalmist long ago had taught the people, the light, the Lord is my light, Psalm 27 and verse 1. And Isaiah declares the coming age of the kingdom would be a time when the servant of the Lord would be as a light for the Gentiles, that ye may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Both Isaiah and John declare that the day will come when God himself shall be his people and be their delight. And Zechariah talks about it too. He says that there's going to be a union of light and living waters together in Zechariah 14. There can be just no question about it. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And well, that's something we got to get into our minds, that he's taking this picture and he's telling all that this light can do. In the background, he's thinking of the Feast of Tabernacles, but this light only was good for the at the temple. Now then, the cloud was good for the wilderness, but Jesus Christ is great for the whole world, that the world might see and the world might not be in darkness. This wonderful light then brings us to salvation. We sing the song, "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. That's like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus." This is a true picture of this world, a world lost in sin and darkness. And Isaiah points this out. He talks about it, and he says that the light of the world will come first to two tribes of Israel. Isaiah writes, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali," that's two of the tribes of Israel, "the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of night, a light has dawned." Why did the ancient prophets single out these two nations, the two tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali? Well, they were the two that suffered the most from the Assyrians. They lived just out on the border, just on the edge. And the first of the tribes to fall would be these two tribes. And it's just like God is saying, Jesus is saying, we're going to go to those two tribes first because they're in the most danger. They're the first to fall when the people of Israel fell. Those two tribes went first. And so we have to be sure, because they're in the most danger, they're in the most darkness, they're in the most degradation, they're in the most terrible place they can be, and they are sitting in this darkness. Do you ever hear about sitting ducks and how they you just sit there until someone shoots them? And that's the way Zebulun and Naphtali were. They were just like sitting ducks, and the enemy would come to them first, and they would go first. And that's where the light of the world shines first. That's the greatest need. That's how God is. He sees us, all this whole world, and he sees where the light needs to shine, and he goes to those people, and he gives them a chance, an opportunity. That's a picture of the world. The world is sitting in darkness and despair. The world is sitting in danger and in desolation. It's sitting, just like a sitting duck. And Satan goes, and doesn't he run wild with his cults and with his wickedness of the age and how the age is degenerating. I've been in preaching now for 75 years. Now, every time I say that, somebody says, well, I would think it could do better after 75 years. And I tell him, you should have heard me when I started. I had more of them going out the door than coming in the door. It was a tragic thing. But for all these years I'm going to tell you something. I've seen a world, and I've seen the culture, and I've seen the conditions of the world, and it isn't getting better. It's only getting worse. And I know that because Jesus is telling us that in the last days it's going to wax worse and worse until he says, will they find faith on the earth? It's degenerating and wickedness is growing, but it'll only grow to a certain point. Then God is going to intervene. So that's a picture of the world. They're sitting in darkness. They're sitting in despair. They're sitting in danger, and there they are. And just like those poor old ducks sitting there waiting to be shot. And so something happened. Something glorious happened. Listen to this in Matthew. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. They sat in the land of death, and the light broke through upon them. And that's what they're telling us here. The very thing happened to me. 88 years ago, I saw the light. I came to Jesus, 10 years old. And I remember it as plain as day, and I remember that evangelist, Vernon Egebrotten, Christian Missionary Alliance pastor who came from from Idaho or somewhere in the East came back and preached to us in that country school. And I saw the light, and I can tell you what he preached. He talked about the Good Samaritan and how this man was beaten and robbed and left bloody and within in his torn up clothes and his dirt to the road, and he was a mess. And the Good Samaritan came and took him, and they took away his old clothes, gave him new clothes, put him in a good place and helped him. And that's the way we all are, friends. We're just like these two tribes. We're in that place of darkness, and all of a sudden we're in a hopeless condition, and Jesus comes by. And he took me out of the, came to me that night, 10 years old. And I remember I just prayed, as an evangelist told me, said, just tell Jesus that you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you for your sins. And I prayed, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And then the evangelist says, you tell him you'll turn from your sins. You see, Jesus taught repentance. He didn't say, well, every day he'll forgive us our sins, then we go right back to the pig pen. We are to turn. Repentance is turning. And Jesus taught repentance. And so we say, dear Jesus, ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. And let me give you a little clue here. You're never going to be perfect. You're going to struggle all the way. And when you sin, and when we sin, and when I sin, after all these years, 98 years, and when I sin, I go to 1 John 1, chapter 1, and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and Jesus forgives me over and over. And you say, well, how many times would he forgive you? Oh, maybe 50,000 times. You know what God says? My grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. His grace is greater than all of our sins. And you're never to that place where you can't come back. So you come to Jesus, and I took him at my Savior. And he took me out of I saw the light. And he took me out of the darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and he put me into the kingdom of light. And he'll do the same thing for you. And I know it. I can hear some of you saying, oh, he would never save me. I've had some of the most terrible sins, awful sins, and I know he'd never forgive me. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul says that he was the chief of sinners, and God forgave him. If he can save the chief, he can save us all. There isn't any sin that God won't forgive. If you go to him and just ask him and really mean it and come from your heart, not your head. Some of you say a few words, but out of your heart, just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you, please come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. And you're on the way, the light of the world. It's a way of salvation. And then the second thing I put down about the light of the world, this wonderful light, guides us through life. This wonderful light, the Lord Jesus, not only saves us, but he gives us guidance and help all through life. Listen to what Jesus said in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Him that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. You see that? Shall not walk in darkness, but still have the light of life. Life is a pilgrimage. It's a traveling. We're a wilderness journey. We need a guide. We need a trip. We need a pilot to help us in the sea of life. And so we live in this dark, dark world, but we can have a guiding light to lead us and direct us all the way along. This wonderful, wonderful Savior. The cloud led the way and all the way, and no questions were asked. When the cloud moved, the people moved. And maybe they would be at some place that's really nice. Maybe they would be at Mara, and that was a bad place. It was a harsh place, and there wasn't much food, and there wasn't much water. There wasn't much of anything there, and the palm trees or anything. But as long as that cloud stayed there, they stayed there. And then it went on, and maybe it went to Elam. And there were palm trees, and there was water, fresh, clean, beautiful water, see. But the point was, they never went without that cloud. They followed that cloud all the way. And that, my dear friends, I want to tell you, under that cloud are the blessings. And that's the place where you can get strength and you can get help. That's where they got the manna to eat for 40 years and the shoes that never wore out and the shade that was always there in the daytime when that wonderful cloud was when they were in that barren wilderness travel. They had that nice shade all the day long and the beautiful light at night, so they were all there. You see, my friend, that's the picture of when we follow Jesus. It's a picture of forsaking Christ when we're in those harsh places. But when we walk with Jesus, we'll always have that light. We'll always have that help. And I'm not saying you're never going to get sick. And I'm not going to say that you're never going to have troubles, because you'll have plenty. Jesus had plenty of them. And the apostles had plenty of them. And look at the persecuted church, how they suffer for Christ's sake. But they have that joy, and they're following Jesus, and he's leading them, guiding them, and he's giving them strength that they never had before, that wonderful Savior. And when we follow the Lord Jesus, we have peace at heart, and we know in our heart and our soul that things are right. And I always tell the young people, when you have the tests and you're going to have them, should I do this? What are the crowds doing? What am I doing? And you just feel in your heart, dear Jesus, is this thing the right thing? And maybe it just doesn't seem right and you can't explain why, but you say it isn't right for me. God will guide you and he'll direct you, but you have to be willing to be led. There's no need showing you if you won't follow the way, see? And then have companionship, and so that he's with us to talk to us. And this wonderful Jesus will help us when you know we hear from people that are shut-ins. Some are alone. They talk about loneliness. I guess maybe we get as many letters from people that are lonely than anything. And maybe they have family that families don't care and don't come. Maybe they have friends that don't show up. Maybe God, like somebody said to one old saint, she was lonely. And then it says this old skeptic comes by. And he says, well, why doesn't God tell one of your brothers and sisters come to see ya? And the little old lady says, he does. They just don't listen. It's not God's fault. It's your fault, our fault, our own fault, that we don't show a helping hand and give them, be a companion to these people and lift them up, help them along the way. That's what we need to be doing. So Christ's presence is with us too, you see. And we're never always alone. He says, I never leave thee or forsake thee. He's with us at the office. He's with us at school. He's with us when we go to home. Wherever we go, we can just revel and rejoice in the fact that we have the nearness of Jesus Christ in our heart. And I can tell you, after 88 years, I can tell that I just know he's there. I haven't seen any visions and I haven't heard any voices or anything like that. But I am so confident that dear Savior is there. He's never failed me once. Don't ask me how many times I failed him, but he's never failed me, and I lean upon him. And the companionship of Jesus then is the hope of the world. He's the hope of tomorrow. We don't have to worry about it. And I think about the young people, and they're thinking, oh, what am I going to do for a living? And what am I going to have for a profession? And who am I going to marry? And how will this all work out? And you just go to Jesus, and you live one day at a time. And you know what? You know, when you're 98 years old, I'm still doing the same thing. One day at a time. You never know it all. You never see the whole road. That's where faith comes in, and you just lean on Jesus, and you count on him. And this Lord Jesus Christ, this wonderful Savior, the Son of Righteousness, is going to break through all of the dark clouds of this world, and he's going to give you past as you walk along and as you travel along. Lean on Jesus. Count on Jesus. I was raised on the farm. We had a lantern. And at night, we took that lantern, and I didn't like the dark. I was scared of the dark, and I still don't like the dark. So there. But anyway, I had that lantern, and it made a circle, and all you could see was that circle. But what's beyond that circle? You took a step, and the light went there, see? And I went all the way from the barn to the house, because that circle went right ahead of me. And you know something? This wonderful light of the world, he casts or carries me all the way until I get to heaven. I'm getting there closer every day. So are you. But he'll take care of us. He says, I'm the light of the world. And he will be the Son of God. And he'll be the light of the world of God. And he'll be the light will shine for you all the way through. And the John has this wonderful passage. And he talks about heaven. And then she tells us, how do I get to heaven? I'm going home, but how do I get there? And so Jesus told us how to get there. He talked about the disciples and he told them he was going to go into heaven, but he'd send a comforter. And then Thomas says, oh God, I want to go to Jesus. I want to go to heaven too. I don't know the way and I don't have a road map and how am I going to get there? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus, the light of the world. And you say, oh, I want that light. I want Jesus. But how can I get him to come into my heart? What if I'm so bad? What if my sins are so terrible? And but God says, he tells in Isaiah, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'll wash them all away. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And you know what God says in the book of Hebrews? He says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He forgets the sins. Don't think about your sins of the past. They're all under the blood. God doesn't see them, and you don't need to see them. And I talk to people all the time, and they says, I wish I would have lived my life differently when I was young. Or there's deals I've made, and there's people I've let down, and everybody's got something. Everybody. And you can't change a bit of it, but Jesus can wash it away and never have it be seen. And so I'm praying that right now you'll say, dear Jesus, just pray it with me. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. And I'll serve you the best I can. I'll turn from my sins. I'll serve you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, I'm going to tell you something. You're a child of God. Jesus tells us in John 5:44, Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard it the best I could preach it, but it's the word is there. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. That's my favorite verse. You pray and then you write to us. We'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. Boxes 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Don't forget, we have to have your help if we're going to carry on. We have to pay our way just like anybody else, so you send us a gift and help us along. You can send it on the internet if you want, at christianworshiphour.com. And if you want to get our little study, the new song, I love that little thing. Well, I write it. I guess that's why I love it. I don't know. Some are better than others, but they're all good. Just take a chance, and we'll send it free and postpaid. Or you can get that film on the Heart of a Shepherd, and you can give it to a friend and help them watch that, and they'll see how to come to Jesus. And you ask Jesus into their heart, see? And you send that, and you just write to us. And if you can help us with it, all right. Otherwise, we'll send it free. So now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray and thank you for all of those who accepted you today. We pray for all of the older people, Lord. They're in homes and they can't get around. They can't get away. So help them to know that you're right there with them and never leave them or forsake them. Lord, the young people are watching and they're wondering and you love them and you died for them. And help them just to read that Bible and to get into a church where the gospel is preached. And then help them just to listen to you and the children, the little children. Jesus, I was only 10 years old when I accepted you. And I know I have a little girl, 5 years old, accepted you. And now she's a grandma. but she walked all that life with you. So may all the people put their faith in Jesus, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me give this one more time for our shortwave people, and that's Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And let me close by telling you this. God loves you. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Christian Worship Hour loves you. All of our workers, most of them volunteer, doing it for over 40 years. And we do it because we love you and we want you to come to Jesus. And we want all of you older people or the people with troubles, turn to Jesus, and I love you. And I just wish I could preach it better and tell it better, but I did it good enough so you can understand. And I know you can because the Holy Spirit's telling you right now. So come to Jesus, and I'll see you in heaven. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For 76 years as a pastor, his heart's desire was that everyone would know that Jesus loves them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin can have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus, we invite you to visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream this message again along with other 30 and 60 minute programs, find a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter titled A New Song, explore devotionals and frequently asked questions, submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page, or leave us a comment or question. Our weekly program is also available on our website, Facebook page, Vimeo and YouTube channels, and on several podcast platforms. Please continue to pray for this ministry, and if the Lord leads you, consider helping us financially as we proclaim the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.